Good morning. We're so blessed to be in the house of the Lord today. We want to begin, and we want to welcome everybody here today. We're honored to have guests with us, and man, what a joy to feel the grace and the goodness of the Lord one more day. Amen. And if you don't think it's a good day, try missing a day. Amen. We're so thankful for the blessings of the Lord, His hand on us, and we're glad that you're here today. Good to have Chris, Angie, you brought them today. What an honor to have your family with you. Amen. We're expecting God to do wonderful things today. Sister Carol, good to have you today. Amen. And Brother and Sister Maine and Heath, we're blessed to have you today with us. And the people of God that has come today wanting what God has for us in our lives. We're so thankful just to be here. And we want to begin with prayer. We want the Lord to minister. And we're so thankful for the help and the hand of the Lord. Sister Beth, the other night, in a chest situation, or really she passed out. And it looks like there was probably potential high blood pressure and all this different things contributing. And they're not sure about a heart attack, but she's been in ICU in Lufkin. She was transported from Nacogdoches to Lufkin. But I'm thankful for the help of the Lord. God's been right there. This morning, Brother Zach and Sister Mahaler and Sister Mahaler there in Jasper ministering. We want the Lord to just bless them today and minister to them. And let's begin today by just praying and asking God just to give His mighty touch today. Open our understanding that we could receive and we could know what God has for us this morning. Pray with me. Lord, we thank You for the grand privilege today to be right here. God, and we could come and scoot up to Your table. And Lord, we could find Your grace and mercy this morning in Your house. Thank You for ministering and administrating today to our needs, every life, every home, every individual that has come today. I pray, God, that You would use us together and help us together. Tune our hearts, touch these that can't make it today, and bless and minister to their lives. We give You praise and we give You glory today in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. I want to go to Romans, the 6th chapter today. Amen. I appreciate Brother Colton teaching during this session, and he's out of town today, so Pastor has the privilege of, you know, filling in for him. Amen. We're thankful today, and just a little bit, we'll have kids praise, and Brother Maine today, we're excited that he's going to be ministering, but go to Romans, the 6th chapter with me today, the book of Romans. And when you get in the New Testament to Romans, and they call that the epistles, that was letters to the church. And Paul has wrote a letter to the church at Rome. Therefore, we call that the book of Romans. And when you see Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, that's letters to the Corinthian church. But isn't it amazing that God took those letters and they were divinely inspired to reach to the church today in every capacity, in every manner. And so today we go to Romans, the 6th chapter, and this is what it says. Paul's writing, he says, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or unto obedience unto righteousness." What he is saying today, he said, to who you yield, you're going to get an outcome. Your yield will determine an outcome in your life. You yield to sin and to bondage, there's going to be the results. The Bible says the wages of sin has a result, is death. And so today, as a pastor, I come to teach you as a Christian, but as a warrior for Christ. I believe God wants you to be a strong individual. God didn't buy us. He didn't purchase us for us to be nonchalant. God didn't want us just to be a pushover. God didn't purchase our salvation for us just to look good. But He wanted people to be, first of all, real. Amen. How many of you, amen, like real people? I mean, Angie, you're a waitress. You see some phony people all the time. They like to mouth. And it's kind of like, well, put your money where your mouth is. Leave a good tip. Amen. And it's the way we look at it. God doesn't want somebody just to use a lot of lip service. God's looking for somebody to have life service. And when you yield yourself to God, how beautiful it is. Amen. God begins to direct you to a great outcome, because just like an instrument, I got to thinking about this the other day. When I was in junior high, I was in band. I was learning how to play a trumpet. And there was a guy that also was learning the same thing. And our band director was kind of crazy. I mean, he was off a little bit. I mean, and he always liked to cut up. Well, this kid had to go run to the restroom. And while he was gone, Mr. Travassus was his name. He took the mouthpiece out of that guy's trumpet. And he had a Kleenex. And he wetted that Kleenex down and he stuck it in the mouthpiece. And he told everybody, he said, watch this. And this was a country school in South Louisiana. I mean, and this kid comes back and Mr. Travassus said, okay, everybody get your instruments. We're fixing to play and everything was ready. And we were all ready. He said, okay, here we go. We're going to play this piece. And everybody picks up their instrument. And this kid starts to blow that instrument. But there was something that was restricting it that was placed there. And of all people that done it, it was one of his students. It was the instructor. And I can remember this kid's eyes getting big as he tried to blow. He began, all his expressions to try to blow that trumpet, but it would not blow. This is what I want to say today. God wants you to be an instrument. But sometimes we have things that clog up our lives that hinders the process or the progression of God in our life. I want God to have free reign to my heart and my life. I want to be a willing vessel, a willing instrument. I want to be a person that when people see me, they just don't see this big bald-headed guy. They see God in me. I want that realness, that sureness. And I believe you want the same in your life. God wants you to be that. God wants you to be a real individual. The word hypocrite you hear, many people talk about, where do we get the word hypocrite from? Well, it was an old theatric word. And it talked about back in the days where they would have the theater, the actor would take, and whatever he was going to portray, there was a mask on a little stick. And he would hold that mask in front of his face, and he whatever voice he would use that. And then when he would change characters, he had another mask behind his back on a stick. And he put the other mask there, and he would change vocal tones. He may portray this guy with a big, deep voice, and when he put this mask on, he changed voices. The word hypocrite simply came from that. It meant two-faced or having multiple faces. God don't want people to have two faces. God wants you to be you who he paid for. And my question today, is God getting in your life what he paid for? He wants you to just be you. He don't want you to be anybody else or something else, but he wants your life. You are important to God. And Romans, the 6th chapter says, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves, servants to obey, his servants ye are. And we talked about it. Your yield determines your outcome. You yield to sin, there's going to be bondage and death. It's crazy because when you yield to things, vices of this hour, vices will put you in a vice and will get a hold of you. But when you yield to God, God has a sense of righteousness. That word righteousness is when God's spirit comes in. Nothing will make you righteous but God himself. And there's a freedom that comes with that because God bought you as is. But he don't want you to stay as you are. God wants to make you better. Look at your neighbor and say, God has better things for you. And every day in life, we're going to yield to something. You're going to yield something. The question is not if you will yield, but to whom you're going to yield. And there's some acts of so-called freedom that destroys freedom. There's some things, not everything that looks like freedom really has freedom. And a person begins to say, man, I think if I just, you know, if I just stay drunk, I don't have to face life. I have a lot of freedom. No, alcohol in that capacity does not give you freedom. It makes you a slave. And friend, sin has the same effect. Sin will put the clutch on you and grasp you and hold you back. I'm thankful there's a liberty in God Almighty that we can live in. Now, in the book of Galatians, Paul's writing to the church there. These were people that God had redeemed and filled with his spirit and brought out of the gutters of life, out of sin, out of slavery. And he writes in Galatians 3:1, he said, "Oh, foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth? But before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you." He said, who hath bewitched you that you can't obey the truth? Man, somebody's got in your mind and your thinking to influence you. And he noticed the word, he used, bewitched you. Somebody has bewitched you and persuaded you with a lot of influence. And let me say this, the enemy's strategy is not always destruction. The enemy is not there just to wipe you out, but to slowly work on you and make you an idiot of yourself, to make you a foolish person. That's what Paul said, foolish Galatians, after all that God has done for you, who has persuaded you? Who did you yield to? Who did you listen to? Many times the enemy, his strategy is this. He often likes to use intimidation. He likes you to convince you to surrender your confidence. And the church of the living God, God's people, there is a power that God gives, a life that you can live victorious. But if the enemy could convince you to relinquish your place in God, if he could cause you to relinquish your authority in God, and if he could convince you to stop obeying truth, if he could convince you to just stop doing something, start doing nothing. You know, doing nothing is just as bad as doing something. When we do nothing, we become despondent. We become just let anything pull us. And let me just tell you, intimidation of the enemy is something that if the enemy can intimidate, if he can muscle you and use his muscles to intimidate you and bully you, he could take over. But I'm thankful today I have a God that's greater in us. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. So today, if you were a soldier in God's army, my whole point today would begin to encourage you and tell you, don't bend, don't bow to intimidation. Don't let the enemy persuade you or bewitch you to do something crazy and to let God's glory and his power and his treasure be dissolved in your life. Let me give you a good example. Elijah, in the Bible, Elijah faced 850 prophets, false prophets. He faced King Ahab. And there on the mountain, he challenged him. There was a showdown. He said, if your God is real, you pray to him and ask your God to let it rain down with fire and consume your sacrifices on the altar. Well, those people got up there. They screamed. They cried. They prayed. They did their religious rituals, but nothing happened. And when Elijah got up there, he just said a few words. And he said, now, if my God is real, God's going to answer by fire. And just a few words, the glory of God came down and the fire of God consumed the sacrifice. I want to tell somebody, Elijah stood boldly before a nation. God gave him boldness, but there's one threatened message that came to him from a wicked queen called Jezebel. And one intimidating spirit, one moment where he yielded to it, caused him to run for his life and hide. A fear paralyzed what faith had built. And 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear. I'm going to tell you, intimidation sometimes paralyzes us. And intimidation will try to steal your faith and cause you to relinquish your authority. Well, you feel like, well, I don't even feel like praying. I don't even feel like reading the word of God. I want to tell you, if you let feelings rule you, feelings will ruin you. Amen. Hey, common sense says, I need God. Common sense says, I need the Word of God. Common sense says, and fact says, amen, God has all power, and we are limited without God. You think one person thinks, man, it's kind of like the old song about, I don't know why I'm talking about alcohol today, but there's an old song that says, you give a man a pint, and he feels like a giant. It's talking about that old Mountain Dew. You remember that old song? And isn't it crazy how the enemy begins to mess you up? The enemy begins to mess with your mind. And, oh, he begins to fuel some things in your life. I want to just remind you today who you are and whose you are. You're not a nobody. You're not a stranger. Amen. You're a child of the King. Amen. You ought to live with a sense of royalty, nobility, power and might. Amen. When you pray, the first thing the devil wants to do is put condemnation. Look at what you did, or look what you didn't do. How many of you have ever been in a battle where the enemy says, you didn't pray? Or you hadn't done everything. You didn't read your Bible. And you didn't have a sacred time every day this week. How can you come to church and pray and sit there and encourage someone? How many has ever been intimidated? How many has ever been faced with condemnation? Condemnation begins to come against you. And you feel, I don't measure up. I just want to remind this church today, none of us measure up by ourselves. It's by the goodness and the grace of the Almighty God, amen, that we are here today. God's goodness has made a difference. And we're all just a bunch of nobodies, but we're living for somebody who could save anybody. Are you thankful for the goodness of the Lord today? Amen. I want to just talk to you about, there is a spider that is ugly, large, powerful, intimidating. It's called a tarantula. I can remember the first time I ever seen a tarantula that wasn't in an aquarium somewhere. We were out in West Texas, and all of a sudden, I looked across the driveway, and there, I mean, a big, hairy tarantula, and it wasn't the biggest ones. There's some of them will get between 6 inches to 12 inches. Do you know that a tarantula could eat a small snake? Some of them even, they say their diet is these little small desert foxes. These things are vicious, and they're ugly. They're intimidating. And when I started talking about, when I watched somebody a while ago, when I talked, I mean, they just the thought of it begin to cause them to say, "Woo, I don't want that." But you know that intimidating, large, powerful tarantula that could eat a baby fox, birds, that could eat snakes and lizards. There is a small, tiny enemy it has that's called the tarantula hawk wasp. It's just a little bitty wasp. The wasp is smaller, weaker, and less impressive, but it wins. Not by its size, not by its strength, but what one little precise sting is all it takes. And the sting, when it stings that big tarantula, the sting paralyzes that giant spider. And boy, Satan works the same way, doesn't he? The devil does not always destroy people with catastrophic failure. Woo. But he often uses bitterness. He often uses offense. You ever got bitter? You ever got to that place where everything's got against you? You felt offended? He uses fear. He uses pride. He uses discouragement. He uses unforgiveness. Hey, friend, the enemy wants to put the sting in your life. When you, what you yield to will begin to control you. And I'm telling you, if the enemy could just get in, his goal is not always to kill. Sometimes his goal is just to paralyze you, to get you to discount your valuable place in God. If he could make you just a person that does nothing, it could get you to that place where you really don't tap into God. It's like having all the, you know, the vehicle with all the motor, all the different engine qualities, but if you don't get in it and turn the engine on, what good is it? Amen. God has a people that he wants to utilize in this hour. Amen. Not everybody's bad. Amen. But God just don't want somebody just to have his power. Amen. And just walk through life without using his power. God wants a victorious people. God wants warriors in a church that loves him and that is real. God don't want two-faced people that come to church one day and say they're a Christian, but live the opposite all the time. But he's looking for a people that allows him, yields to him, allows him to have his way in their life. God will make a better you out of you. And you think about it. That tarantula hawk does not win because it's stronger. It wins because it knows where to strike. Think with me. Satan studies weaknesses. He knows your weaknesses. Ephesians 4:27 says this, neither give place to the devil. Neither give place to the devil. Don't give him an opportunity. Don't give that thought an opportunity. Amen. The 2 Corinthians 10:3 through 5, it teaches us to cast down those imaginations. You ever had a thought come in your mind? It was an evil thought. Just because you have an evil thought don't mean that you've sinned. Just because wicked came across the screen of your brain doesn't mean that you participated in it. I mean, out of the clear blue, we get thoughts that are, where did that come from? It becomes a sin when we start entertaining and feeding that and begin to pet that thought. And we begin to grow that thought. We begin to court that thought. But the scripture said a while ago, neither give place to the devil. Hear me. 2 Corinthians says, cast down imaginations. Bring every thought into captive and pull down the strongholds. You know, the battle is often won or lost in your mind. And if the enemy could get in your mind, the enemy could get in your heart and your ways and in your life. Some are facing financial tarantulas. Big, ugly things. I can't win. I'm a loser. I'm a nobody. Some face family tarantulas, health tarantulas, spiritual tarantulas. And the enemy wants you to focus on the size of your problem, and God wants you to focus on the size of his power. Think about it today. God really wants you to make it. Amen. Hell was not created for you and I. But friend, hell's having a construction program constantly because it's constantly growing. You were not made to go to hell. God has a better place and a better life for you. Amen. And if you're going to accept just being a loser, then that's what you'll be. Who you yield yourself to, you become. But I'm thankful today that there's a better place, there's a better thing in my life, and there's a greater power that God has for you, every one of us. Somebody say amen today. The target of the attack, when that wasp does not target, that tarantula's okay. But they tell me that those little bitty wasps begin to watch that tarantula, watch where it lives at. Think with me. You ever seen the hole in the ground where the tarantula lives? That spider begins to make its den in that ground. That wasp always likes to get that spider near its house, near its home. You know the reason why when it paralyzes it? It will take that large spider, that little bitty wasp, will pull that spider into its own den and there take that paralyzed spider, and that spider's paralyzed and dying. And he will lay, that wasp is a she, will lay an egg on the abdomen of that paralyzed spider. And pretty soon, that little bitty larvae begins to hatch out of that egg. And that larvae will feed off of that spider. Eventually, that spider would die, and it would eat that larvae eats that like a maggot, basically. I want to tell you, the enemy likes to just do it right near your house, right where you live at. Amen. And that's the reason why we got to keep ourselves. Our home is valuable. Look at me today. Your home is valuable. And you may be a single man, hear me, but where you live at is valuable. Keep your home, the place you live valuable. Keep it sacred. Amen. Spend time with God. Spend time in your home and keep it a safe place. Thank God for a great home. Many people did not have the privilege. Let me just use a survey here today. How many of you grew up eating at a table? Let me see your hand. You know, when I go to the jail, I ask, how many of you grew up with a table in your home and ate at that table? Do you know it's over 85% of inmates that are what I want to call professional inmates? Because I have them 29 years of doing jail ministry. I still have some that were there 29 years ago that cycle back in and out, in and out. But the majority of people that we have surveyed did not grow up with a family table where they ate together, where they talked together. You know, and I think, Angie, we talked about it last time you was at church. How many times you go to the restaurant and you see people, a family, four, five, sitting at the table and they're glued to a device, never talking, never communicating. You see them go to where she works at, I mean, and they're there looking at that. How many of you ever observed that before? Here's a family of four or five, and every one of them are engrossed in something else. And they're right across the table from each other. And I'm telling you, there's a lot of things stealing our victory. Instead of communicating, people are lost in this and this and this. We have lost the art of communion as a family. We need to bring it back. We need to guard our home and guard. If you don't have a table, get a table. If you don't eat at your family, start doing it. Spend some time with, ask, go around the table, how did your day go? It's a sad deal, but it's a real thing. We need to pay attention to how we live and the sacred things in our home. You need to fight for what's right. Amen. You know, that spider is the largest spider in the desert, basically in the spider family. And that little bitty wasp, it don't look at it. It's not intimidated. The size of it don't matter to it. And it's the same way. David faced Goliath. Remember the story of David and Goliath? How when Goliath came, it didn't intimidate David. He didn't look at the size of Goliath. Goliath had approximately, history will say, over 200 pounds of armor on him. A helmet that weighed 15 to 20 pounds. A spearhead that was 15 pounds. He had a shield. He had all this armor on. And they said approximately 200 pounds of equipment on him. I imagine David didn't even weigh 200 pounds. Talking about intimidation, no. David realized that the battle did not belong to him. He said, I don't care how big you are. I don't care how bad you are. I don't care if you're a hired mercenary. I don't care what you've done. I don't care how many battles you won. This battle don't belong to me. It belongs to God. So whenever you feel intimidation, remember, it's not who you are, but whose you are. We belong to God. Don't be the foolish one that cashes in just because your problem's big. You think about Moses when he faced Pharaoh. Pharaoh had power. He was the king over the country of Egypt. And Moses was just Moses. But friend, Moses had a God who stood with him. A God that stood with him. Look at Israel when they faced Jericho. It was walls. And the Lord told them, you're not going to take, you're not going to use armor. You're not going to use these things to fight this battle. I'm going to win that battle for you. You just march and you just follow the orders. And I want to tell somebody, when you follow God's orders, God will always cause you to be the winner. Amen. Remember, the size of your struggle may be an indication of the size of your purpose. Sometimes the attack itself may reveal that God has value for you. God wants you to be a strategic player in his kingdom. You know, I look at Paul. Paul understood Satan. In the New Testament, think with me. When Paul writes, do you know that he mentions the word Christ 406 times? He uses the word Lord 282 times. The word Jesus 221 times. You know how many times he used the word Satan and the devil? 15. Only 15 times in the whole New Testament did Paul acknowledge the enemy. Paul knew the enemy existed, but he kept his eyes on Jesus. He wrote in Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Too many people study the sting, but they don't look to the Savior. Are you thankful today for the glory of the Lord that we have a great God? Hear me, one touch can change everything. One sting changes the battle for the tarantula. Likewise, one touch from God can change everything in your life. One service is all it takes. Man, I love it whenever that person just walks in a church. They have no clue. They're just there. But friend, one service is all it takes to make a mighty change in a person's life. One altar call, one session where you kneel down and you open your heart to God before God. Are you thankful for the altar, the power that God has when you meet with God? All it takes is one prayer meeting, one encounter where God changes the situation. Look at Acts, the second chapter. It was one day that God began to change. Look at Saul. He was a man that had the ability to arrest people. He had warrants in his pocket, amen, so to speak. But Saul became Paul in one instance. What about the woman with the issue of blood? 12 years, spent all she had. But one moment, one touch changed the situation. Never underestimate what God can do in just one moment. Praise God. Well, the enemy does have a sting. Man, I'm telling you, if you live, you're going to be offended. People's going to be people. People's going to hurt you. Words are going to. We used to say a little saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That's not the truth. Have you been hurted by somebody's words? Have you been hurt and wounded by somebody that used words against you? I want to tell you, the enemy does have a sting. But Jesus has the antidote. Isaiah 54 says, no weapon formed against us shall prosper. Amen. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. I love 1 Corinthians 15:55. Oh, death, where is your sting? Grave, where's your victory? Death is not intimidating to those that have Jesus living in their life. Because death is not the final. It's just the beginning. Amen. The venom of sin will paralyze somebody, but the power of God liberates. So here's this tarantula. He's big. He's bad. He could eat even a small desert fox or snake. But that little bitty hawk wasp watches him and knows where its den is. And by the nature of that little wasp, he knows that he's going to get that big spider, and he comes down, and strategically, that spider outweighs him and is big. That spider is huge and ugly and hairy, but that little hawk, spider, wasp hawk, comes there and he does a little dance around him, and he gets that spider to lift his legs, and he's got that spider so just mesmerized, he'll jump around, and do you know where he has to sting it at? For it to die, the soft part of its abdomen or belly is where that wasp hawk begins to put that stinger. If he could get right there in his gut, immediately that sting paralyzes him. And I want you to say this today. If the devil could get in your gut, if he get down inside of you, have you ever been, somebody said something to you and it made you sick in your stomach? You ever felt bitterness? You know, bitterness and anxiety affects the emotions of you people, of humans. And you think about what it does to humans. It begins to mess with you. People have ulcers. They have problems thinking. They have problems relating. They have all kind of things. Mental problems start happening. If the enemy could get inside of you and terrorize you and intimidate you and get you to surrender your authority and relinquish your place in God, he's got you. Everybody gets stung from one time to the next. You're going to get disappointed in life. You're going to be rejected. You're going to be betrayed. Anybody's ever been betrayed beside me? I've been betrayed. You're going to have fear. And there's going to be some times you're going to have to deal with hatred. Well, you feel that that person hates you. You're going to deal with people coming against you. But I want to tell somebody today, don't yield to the sting. Keep praying. Amen. Jesus is still the answer. Keep believing. Keep worshiping. Amen. I want to tell you, you keep coming to church even when you don't feel like coming to church. Feelings should never rule your life, because feelings will ruin your life. Do what you know is true. Obey God even when it don't feel right. Because this book's going to be right 9 times out of 9. This book's going to be right every time. Amen. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Somebody has been measuring the size of their problem and forgetting to measure the size of their God. I'm thankful that God can't be measured today. What a mighty God we have. You know, the tarantula looks bigger, it looks stronger, and looks unbeatable. But one touch changed everything. And if one sting can paralyze a giant spider, one touch from God can restore a paralyzed soul. Are you thankful today that there's hope in God and help in God? Soldier today, don't give in. When you feel paralyzed and you feel like I am numb, hang on. Don't settle for that. Amen. There is an antidote. Amen. That's where I lift my eyes to the hills. From whence cometh my help? The scripture said, my help cometh from the Lord who hath made the heaven and the earth. When you feel surrounded and you feel like everything's coming against you, you've been there, I've been there. Hang on to God's unchanging hand. Get a hold and a grip and admit to God, Lord, I need your help. Our problems in prayer, a lot of times we just don't submit and admit that we need God. I want to say, God, I need you today. Amen. I can't make it today without God. I can't even go forward without God. Our whole point today, the sting, what you yield to determines what controls you. This day in the house, God wants a church that is a victorious church. God wants to move. Don't be like that trumpet. That mouthpiece was clogged up. Are you an instrument, but you're clogged up? You can't be used to God. Amen. I'll never forget when this boy kept trying to blow that trumpet. And Mr. Travassa says, always take your mouthpiece out and look at it. He said, that boy took that mouthpiece off that trumpet, and there was that Kleenex that he had stuffed in there. And that band director, he used it as a teaching illustration. He said, sometimes, he said, a lot of grit gets built up because, he said, when you're blowing, there's a lot of saliva. And he said, sometimes there's dust in the air. And he said, things get clogged up in your instrument. And he used it for keeping your instrument clean. On a trumpet, there's valves. He said, take your valves out, clean them up, put them in hot water, clean them. Then oil them up, keep them oiled and ready. And he said, when you're ready and it's clean, you put your mouth to that mouthpiece and you begin to blow. And that instrument begins to work for you. I want to be that instrument for God that is ready, yielded, and ready to let God use me in the capacity that he has chosen me to be. Not every one of you are called to be preachers, but you're called to be what God has called you to be. You're called for something. There's a purpose for your life. You are an instrument for God. God's toolbox is not made up of all hammers. There's a difference. Amen. And God uses you uniquely with what he's chosen you to be. There's some of you that are precise. God uses you in a special way. I look at Sister Dallas. Sister Dallas has some skills and ability that are amazing. Things that I can't do, that she could get done. I mean, she has that ability. I try to get it done. I try to fix it. It just don't measure up. It just don't come out like I want it. And I get frustrated. That's the reason why, amen, I got to realize I may have the capacity of just being a hammer. Thank God for somebody else that has that precise ability. Not everybody, we're not the same. And God's people, the church, are made up of a different type of people. In the military, not everybody pulls triggers. There's somebody that has to fly those supplies. And they're just as much part of that war as in. There's somebody that has to make sure that that missile's packaged right. He's just as much part as that, as that person that's pulling the trigger, pushing the button. Everybody works together in the kingdom of God. Victory and credit is not just given to one. It's given to Jesus Christ and to his church that have learned to yield themselves. Be a good soldier. Let God use your life. Amen. Let's talk to the Lord together right now. Lord, help me. God, help me to be, God, one that yields. Help me, God, to be sensitive. Help me to learn, oh God, to utilize what you've given in my life. Help me to guard, to put the armor on, God, to recognize the voice of the enemy. Let me not be intimidated by the things that come against us. I pray your righteousness, Lord. Help me to guard against condemnation, these things that begin to make me feel that I'm not worthy. God, but I'm thankful for your blood that makes me worthy. I'm thankful for what you did at Calvary to give me hope, to give me a chance. I love you, Jesus, and I give you praise. Amen. Praise God. Have you ever seen somebody that talked about baseball, football, basketball? There were sports fanatics. And one time my brother was saying, I asked him, I was just picking on him. They're big fans of Louisiana State University. And he was talking, man, he said, man, we got in there, we won. I said, you did what? I said, you didn't do nothing, boy. I said, you weren't even on the field. Oh, man, we scored on them. We beat Texas A&M. And, boy, I was picking on them. And I said, you didn't do anything. And I want to tell the church today, I want to be part of God's team. Even the water boy on a professional team rejoices when his team wins. Even that fan at the top up there, even that fan that can't afford to go is rejoicing. Really, today, I'm thankful to be a part of God's amazing army, his team, his people, and his family. And we're glad today that he lives for us and we live for him. Amen. God bless you today. Amen. We're going to take a break. And about 10 minutes, we're going to begin in here, kids' praise.